people who love them.
Hello, this is The Thing About Cars. Welcome back. We're recording, as usual, in Strongbox West in Midtown Atlanta. It is a rainy day outside, or at least kind of slick on the roads, and traffic has been kind of weird. There's this joke that I've heard from time to time. Atlantans forget to drive on three different occasions. Can you guess what they are?
Well, rain is one.
Sure. So, one, when it rains. Two is when the Braves win the World Series.
Oh, yeah.
And three is when they wake up.
See, I would have said morning, noon, and night.
So let's do introductions and then just jump right into our topics board as usual. At the table today we have
Ben,
Ronnie,
Becca,
Eric,
Suzanne.
And Suzanne is the developer of our brand new website, and it looks fantastic. Thank you for doing the work. We do have a token of appreciation for you that is still quite sort of not finished yet, but if you can see this.
Thank you. That's perfect.
I like that. You didn't take it out of the package.
No, I'm not gonna.
That's why I wasn't saying a whole lot.
So see, check out the Facebook. I'm sorry. Well, it might appear on Facebook, but check out our website if you want to see the actual trophy / token of appreciation we've given to Suzanne.
Mint inbox.
It's a mint inbox Hot Wheels to her specifications. And and no, I wasn't going to take it out of the box just because it's more valuable that way.
That's adorable. Thank you very much.
But Becca still needs to sign it as one of our regulars, so when she gets here, we'll make sure she gets that complete. Double C Becca is not here yet for our listeners. Let's just jump right in. Suzanne, I know, we were talking about cars as you put together the website, and you had a couple car stories that I think are worth sharing.
Well, my brothers, when they were, I guess, 12 or 13, they both bought one bought a 65 Mustang and the other bought a Falcon. I can't remember what year it was. Mm-hmm. But, every weekend was spent working on these cars. And I helped. I carried things. And I was 7 years younger than them, so I probably wasn't as much help as I thought I was. Mm-hmm. But when my husband and I started dating, he had a 65 Mustang. And I pretty much started dating him for that 65 Mustang.
And rightly so.
And then we got married, and he sold it. I feel like I got kind of a pig in a poke sort of thing. I married for that Mustang, and then it was gone.
There you go. I like that.
Bait and switch.
Suzanne had a bait and switch breach of contract. But I don't know if you know Becca runs something called the Mustang Room. And she is seriously, seriously into Mustangs. I don't know if I've shared this with you before.
Well, he asked me what my favorite color Mustang was, and then I ranted for a little while about the color of blue that the Mustangs were that I didn't like, and normally blue is my favorite color. Mm-hmm. And I think that was more information about Mustang colors than he wanted.
Well, and actually, I have an aversion to red cars, just red in general. I don't like red cars, which is so weird because, you think of the Mustangs and what have you from back in that era, and red was so wildly popular, and I try to avoid red. But my very first collectible that started the whole Mustang Room, if you've heard the story or seen the website or anything, it was a red convertible 65 Mustang that started the whole thing.
No kidding. So like this? Like exactly like that?
Exactly like that.
Yeah.
I think they officially called the color candy apple red.
I believe that was actually the Chevy.
That was the Chevy color. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ford had several reds, and I'm drawing a blank right now. I tend to like to call the standard one Mustang red.
Okay.
And it's the one that if you look at it in the wrong light, it's orange all
it's
of a
sudden.
It's
orange, yes.
But they had several variations of red.
I'm with you. I'm not a big fan of red cars in general. I just don't like them. I've never appreciated them at all.
No.
But I was introduced to the term candy apple red in the 80s with reference to Alfa Romeos. And so back in the 80s, people were like, oh yeah, I want this candy apple red spider. I'm like, I'd never heard that term before.
My high school boyfriend had a red convertible Mustang. Yeah.
Let's see a pattern for me.
He has a
pattern here.
And we broke up after he came out. He kept the Mustang.
Wow.
So the car is a little more important.
The car was really, the car was terribly important.
So I just didn't know enough Mustang people.
That's cool.
He came and got me at Tech my first year there and took me on spring break to Florida. And we decorated the car with just married, even though we weren't married. Because, you can speed when you've got just married on the car. And it was hilarious because every place we stopped in, at a gas station and everything, everyone's so happy for you. There was this busload of retirees on their way to Florida, and they're all cheering and waving. And I shouldn't have put that story on tape.
Well, we haven't named anyone yet, so...
And the statute of limitations has probably expired.
Yeah.
So, I completely forgot what I was going to say. So the second car story that you and I had shared had something to do with the bird.
Right. So my father, my family has mild familial OCD. You know, it giveth and it taketh away. We've had one cavity and five children. Every time I have to go buy more floss, I'm just insufferably pleased with myself because, you know, but anyway, but so there are good and bad things about it. And one of those is that my father was very, very particular about his car. You had to back in just the right way. It had to be exactly, I think my parents got a divorce because she parked crooked, you know. So he would, every morning he would get up, or whenever you would come visit, you'd drive up and there would be the things that go on top of golf, there would be those on the mirrors of the car when you came to my parents' house.
On top of the golf club,
cover. But they were on the side mirrors of the cars.
Okay.
And he used ones that he had bought to try to get my kids involved with golfing. So it was like Big Bird and Elmo. And, you know, you drive up and here's Big Bird and Elmo sitting sideways, you know, on the side of the car. And he had pretty nice cars. I can't remember the name. Y'all would know what it was. But anyway, so the story was that every morning he would get up and go to get in the car, and he's very OCD and has to wash his hands all the time, and there's bird poop right on the handle.
Nice.
And, you know, he washed it off. He did all these crazy things. He had alarms set up trying to not have the bird come under. And every morning, month after month after month, bird poop on the handle. So he staked it out, and he discovered what was happening was a blue jay was coming in every morning and sitting and looking itself in the mirror and having its morning constitutional. So then he started putting the little golf things on the mirrors, and that did solve the problem.
I just like the idea of not having dew on the mirrors. I'm thinking this is not a bad idea.
One thing that I had heard, pardon me, I'm munching on something.
What are you munching on?
What was it called again?
It's a beignet. it's a New Orleans delicacy. It's a donut of sorts. I just learned about them probably 3 weeks back, and now whenever I see a beignet, I do my best to purchase it because apparently it's supposed to be magical. I'm still looking for the magic. Maybe it's only in New Orleans.
Something in the metal.
It's because you have not put the correct amount of powdered sugar on the outside.
Is that why? You need
about a pound and a half of powdered sugar per beignet.
But if it's originated from New Orleans, I imagine there's cocaine in there somewhere.
But New Orleans, where are you from?
So, yeah. Anyway, please.
Oh, but no. What I'd heard was just keep a bottle of club soda in your car, and club soda is good for getting bird droppings off of your car and not having to rewash. So I bought some, put it in the car, and then birds just stayed away from my car. So I haven't tested it. And then the bottle started leaking because it was banging around with all the other stuff I carry on a daily basis just in case. And
55-gallon drum.
No, that's in the garage now.
Oh, I remembered what I was brain farting on earlier. You told me once that your dad was famous for getting, like, maximum mileage out of a set of tires.
He got 100,000 miles on sets of tires.
I can't imagine getting 100,000 miles out of a set of tires.
Not very sticky tires.
Yeah.
He drove every day from Gainesville to Atlanta around the Castleberry Hill area. He worked at Fulton Supply, Atlanta Fulton Supply Company. Mm-hmm. And it was in Driving Miss Daisy, which I guess is a car movie. The place where the son works and they go into the elevator and everything, that's the building where my father worked. So he was driving a good bit every day, and it was long straight miles, but he was also kind of insane about, you know, you never did stick turn, you always, if you're turning the wheel, you have to be moving the car. And I, when I curb a tire now, I'm afraid he's going to show up because, you know, he was very gingerly about everything. But he had also, at the time, I think Sears had a free tire rotation and balance, and you could do it something like once a month. And so he did that every month. He went in and got them rotated every month and drove those tires forever.
So as a little tech tip, this is for all the listeners out there that don't know how to maintain your vehicle. If you, it sounds like an upsell scam, and in some ways it is, but according to Suzanne's story, this is kind of proof that it's not. We are trained to sell you a rotate and balance every 5,000 miles as professional technicians. And even if you're a DIYer of any sort, you don't even need to balance it every 5,000 miles. You can actually do the rotate yourself. If you go to Harbor Freight, buy yourself a $70 or $80 jack, lift up the rear of your vehicle, put it on stands, and then lift up the front, and you swap the tires front to back, assuming you don't have a staggered set of wheels, which if you have a sports car, you will.
Or directional.
Or directional.
That's what I run into.
Yeah, so if your rear tires are wider than your front, you don't want to swap those from front to back. That is how you get wheel locked. Your front wheels will just snag on your struts, and you won't be able to go anywhere. But if you rotate them front to back every 5,000 miles, I have heard stories. Suzanne's is the longest lasting one I've heard. But on average, I've been hearing 50,000 to 60,000 miles if you are religious in caring for your tires and rotating them.
And you can do that with OCD.
Yes, OCD is a very valuable trait.
And you don't have to balance the wheel every time.
No. I run mud terrain KM2s on my truck, very aggressive tires, rotate them every 5,000 miles with an oil change. I get a little bit of feathering. Two-thirds of the way through the life, I actually took them, flipped them over because the outers were wearing worse than the inners. Wound up leveling them back out, never had to balance them.
And wow.
I don't know, 4 years, three or four years I got out of those tires, never had to balance them. Also, one thing, if you're going to Harbor Freight for a floor jack, if you want something professional grade, the big yellow one, there's actually...
Get the Pittsburgh one.
No, it's actually a Snap-on.
Oh, it's a Snap-on blueprint.
Yeah, there's a Snap-on lawsuit going on. Uh-huh. I got one. It is a phenomenal... The Snap-on guy actually loaned me the Snap-on jack because he needed room taking a trade-in. He's like, here, try this for a week.
Mm-hmm.
I tried it for a week. It was really nice, and I went and bought the Harbor Freight.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, so shameless plug for Harbor Freight.
I'm a Snap-on guy hardcore through and through. The Snap-on guy is actually one of my closest friends. But, yeah, it's a couple hundred. It's $180 with a coupon for a $600 jack.
What?
Well, see, yeah. And
it's
was
a phenomenally good jack.
That was my big thing with the Pittsburgh one. I had forever been looking for 2-ton jack, but super low profile. And it was always the 1.5-ton that was on sale somewhere, and then anything beyond that would be so much more. And especially once I got the G8, which, you know, I love the car, but she's a big girl.
Love her, right.
So I really needed at least a 2-ton jack, and Harbor Freight has that Pittsburgh one.
Okay.
It's 2-ton, super low profile, and it's always on sale. Awesome. So more plugs for Harbor Freight.
I know what I'm doing on Monday just after I get my tires rotated.
Yeah.
Harbor Freight.
I'm a little overdue, actually. Let's jump into our list. We've sort of been bouncing around. We've got more than halfway through the episode, and we haven't even touched our board yet. At the top of the board, Becca has written down the word putty.
It's a little vague. I know that. I've been working on a project with the headlights on my Mustang. I have forever had these aftermarket headlights sitting in the garage. I've had them for a number of years, and just because of the parasitic load, I didn't want to alter what was already there. I just wanted to find and replace without changing. I wanted to get that settled first. But since it's been my daily driver since October, poor Pontiac, the headlights, they're old. I have tried everything. Y'all had seen me doing some of the experiments with trying to get all that just junk off the headlights. So I tried to go in and install the aftermarkets, and the main adjustment screw was held on. by such a teeny tiny little piece of plastic. As soon as I popped it in, the retaining things on the back of the, yeah. I'm using hands, I'm not thinking of words, sorry. As soon as I popped it in, that adjustment screw, what was holding it on, snap. So I'm driving around with one old fogged over headlight, one new, totally different aftermarket, pointing at the ground, because I can't adjust it. So I decided I'm just going to jump into a full-on restoration of the original.
The original bracket?
The original headlights, which involved also opening the headlight up. Problem is, over a 20-year-old headlight, permaseal on it. As soon as I started working on it, and yeah, I was baking it in the oven and all that, but the plastic where the channels were just started crumbling. You know, and it's not really from the oven. So I've been rebuilding the channels. Instead of going out, spending money, I committed to this project. Full on project now. I'm rebuilding the channels. But what I'm using is JB Weld, which is a epoxy resin putty. And it works great. However, you can't touch it with your fingers. And the wearing gloves, it has become very annoying because I'm doing detailed things, and the gloves are making it difficult to do. You have to work quickly.
What kind of gloves?
I'm wearing nitrile. But the putty wants to stick to the glove, so it's yanking at the glove. And I want to be able to feel what I'm doing. Plus, I'm trying to keep it within a reasonable shape, so then it tries to stick to another piece and 24-hour curing. And it's,
JB
I don't know.
Quick.
I'm sorry?
JB Quick. It's JB Weld product, but it cures up much faster.
Does it cure in the same way? The same?
It has the same tensile strength and everything.
Yeah, it's really good stuff.
And stickiness is not the right word, but the way it...
Adhesion?
Is, yeah.
But post-drying, yes.
Yeah. I've used it for years, and it's phenomenally good.
Okay.
It's so holding oil in my motorcycle as we speak.
This was what I was going to ask. Exactly. Was there something better? I had tried to find some that I could at least touch.
Well, I'm having trouble imagining what the application is. I'm having trouble imagining how you're actually using it, because the first thing you said when I heard the word putty is I thought immediately of this product called Suguru.
Suguru, yes.
Yeah.
Which is fabulous stuff, and I have really thought about it, but one of the benefits of Suguru is it remains flexible. And the channels hold the lens in place.
Yeah, it is kind of flexible.
Right.
But anyway, so.
So, that was one of the things. It's taking so long, the 24-hour cure, plus that's when you find out how well did it adhere to that section. Plus, when I'm putting guides in there to keep a reasonable shape, or when I'm going in, I'm sanding with my Dremel in there. Sometimes it'll let go, and now I've got to redo this section. And so I appreciate that. If there's anything else, I can also try.
A company called Tyco makes aftermarket headlights. They're phenomenal in my car.
Well, I can replace them, but it's me committing to the project and not spending... Yep. Additional money, because they are also Cobra headlights. They're not the GT that have that beveling on the inside. These are the clear Cobra, which I prefer.
My husband is in the construction industry. He does like HTL framing, and there are some products that are made to adhere various things to steel, made by Loctite. And I don't know.
I had seen something recently from Loctite where they had more products.
They have a million different things. A friend of his is, one of their main engineers. And, they have things that are, maybe you should go on their website.
Actually, I just thought of something I completely forgot about. West Marine sells a product called G-Flex. Oh. It is one of the few glues that will actually adhere to polyethylene properly. So if you got a kayak, that's how you fix it.
Becca's taking notes.
Glue or
it is a two-part epoxy, but it is used for plastic, metal, all kinds of, and that stuff. I had to rebuild a kayak, and it is phenomenally good.
It's not cheap.
No, it's not cheap at all. Anything from West Marine is not cheap, but it's worked.
If it gets the job done, it gets the job done.
And it's lasted for years.
Well, the next problem I would run into, one from buying new headlights, is I would have to start the process of banking and opening again, running that risk. I just totally brain farted on my second point.
Well,
there.
while Becca's,
I'm taking notes at the same time.
Right. While she's cognitively compromised, let's explode her head. Ben, tell us about this concept Mustang you saw.
Yeah, I saw this on the interwebs somewhere, Facebook or something. It was just a picture, no real article with it describing it, but it was basically a Mustang that was modified into, this is like a current generation Mustang, like a little two-door wagon. I can make some heads explode when I say shooting brake, if you want to call it that. But it had the fake wood applique on the sides. I think the idea was to be like a 70s country squire wagon or something, but when I saw it, I thought Woody. I thought put a couple surfboards in the back and go to the beach.
Oh, no, it's got a roof rack. You put the surfboards on the roof rack.
Could see, do that, too.
So we're looking at the picture now. We'll also post that on the website.
Well, and it's also on our Facebook page already. I reserved comment. I didn't go in. My initial reaction was to put the I guess, smiley face that's green and throwing up everywhere.
that's supposed to be a Mustang?
Y'all do remember the PT Cruiser, right? This already happened. And it had wood paneling. And there was a six-month wait before they hit. People wanted it.
PT Cruiser is a whole other topic. I could meander down that way. But first reaction, again, you know how I feel about badging and staying true to heritage and a product line. Mm-hmm. However, I have ranted in the past that if Mustang had its own, I guess, car line that Mustang does very well as far as a Ford vehicle. It's really not that bad. And
that
I say that with a grain of salt.
Well,
wait, get rid of the wood, first of all.
Sure.
That, I can't even say the words on the podcast that I would like to say. But
it's
really,
yeah,
the lines on it really aren't that bad.
See, my first reaction is Suzanne's reaction. My first reaction was, this is hideous, but I know Ben's.
Well, you look at it this way, it's really just it's, you know, up to the bottom of the windows, it's still all the same car. Above the windows, it just has a longer roof line. You can carry stuff in it, which you may want to carry stuff very fast in a Mustang, but also, it's probably got some great body stiffness if that roof is done right. There are a lot of...
Is there a picture without wood
paneling?
It'd be
fine without the wood.
If I could see I can't see lines. Okay, back to what I said.
I get it.
Porsche did the station wagon too. Some people like it.
I get it, but Porsche's station wagon is also ugly as hell.
Yes.
You know?
No, I'm right there with you.
It's not that bad. It's going to have to really be just powerful. It's...
Well, that's the thing. Here's my thing. Don't call it a Mustang. Call it something else.
Yeah.
And that's how I've been with that badging thing.
I'm Americans don't do station wagons anymore. The Dodge Magnum is the only one since the 80s.
And they don't make that anymore.
Europeans are the only wagons you're going to see.
Well, what people are making are these SUV crossover types, like the Honda Cross Tourer.
Yeah,
and Mazda makes an MX-5 wagon-ish, or something like that.
But it's, I guess, modern, sporty, and not your grandfolks wagon.
It's not a road tripping,
not going to Wally World.
Not going to Wally
World. And most people don't even know that the crossovers are just sitting on a car chassis.
Exactly.
But as long as it can back up its namesake, it's not bad lines. I wouldn't be utterly opposed.
I admit, Becca, I'm surprised to hear you being so forgiving to the thing.
Yes.
It's got to back it up.
Yeah.
If you can't back it up, I have an issue. But it's not bad. Not the wood. We need to post some of the ones that don't have the wood.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. A different name. Don't call it a Mustang.
Well, anything they put in it nowadays is certainly better than the four-cylinder automatic powertrain that my brother's old 79 Fox body had. he was getting smoked by Chevettes in that thing.
Yeah. That's hilarious. I mean, you know, again, what if Camaro decided to do a station wagon? Would you do a Corvette station wagon? That just
they did do.
No.
You've seen the 70s.
What?
Well, you never saw that?
This Truly Wagon or just Fastback? That's
I've
a
seen
one
on
we need to make
face
here.
Right now,
yes, I've seen
see
one
this.
On the cover of some magazine when I was a kid, but I saw one in real life on Buford Highway on a used car lot. That is it. I saw one of those in real life.
I wouldn't really call it a wagon. That's just a square back.
Yes.
It's the same body from the windows down.
If that's a square wagon.
I'm a little
square back.
Beyond shocked at the moment. I'm kind of
You've
like,
never seen this.
What adjective do I apply to this picture?
Well, the car is brown for a reason, I guess.
Yeah, those lines don't work.
Yeah.
But in the mock-up of the Mustang, the lines work. It's all about the lines.
Well, that's, I think, all we have time for today. We're going to tackle the rest of our list here in a minute, but let's sign off and we may take a break here internally. Thanks again to our listeners. Thanks again to Suzanne for making such a great website for us. As always, stay safe out there. This is The Thing About Cars coming to you from Strongbox West. Be safe. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.